Last week, my friend Kaji shared that video of today's scripture. I loved it immediately. It was beautiful and just a little goofy. Kaji is a pastor in New York City. She's got a church where people come and go. A lot of her beloved church friends come and then they scatter to different places in the world. This Pentecost story features those people, people who were knit together into this beloved church, who didn't know each other and ended up committing their lives to one another. Here they are in their own languages. There's lavish diversity of sound and skin colors. It's the warm texture of human love, of different people joined together by this promise of finding life together in Jesus and finding joy there. It was a whiplash to watch the story about Pentecost as the week unfolded. This was a terrible week, friends. It began with a white woman threatening to lie to police to say that a black man was hurting her. This is a lie that white women have told before in our history as a country, and it's a lie that has gotten black men and boys killed. It continued with the death of George Floyd, a gruesome public death at the hands of police for the crime of check forgery. And then when arrests were delayed, Minneapolis erupted. Other cities followed. And I remembered those words of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. In the final analysis, a riot is the language of the unheard. And what is it that America has failed to hear? The week contained another terrible milestone, 100,000 deaths from COVID-19. A disease that, because of institutional racism and systemic disparity, overwhelmingly affects Black and Brown communities. And it ended here in Raleigh last night as protests spread around the country, broken glass and fire. So how to turn back here to this story before us? The birthday of the church, the celebration of people of different cultures and ethnicities and languages coming together around their difference, flames of fire dancing on their heads, rushing winds swirling around them. What does this mean? How could this matter to us right now? There were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. This is a story about understanding. We watch the divisions of language being healed. The Holy Spirit creates understanding. It helps people to hear one another. This is a story that is a reversal of another story from the Old Testament, the story of Babel. Genesis gives us this origin story of multiple languages in the world. Once, we hear, all people spoke a common language. But then those people got together and they decide to build this tower to heaven so that they can become like God. Their understanding gives them power, all the capacity available in human cooperation. They can do anything, they're limitless. And so God scrambles their languages because this causes this division by giving them different ways that make it impossible to understand each other. They can't cooperate because they don't understand what they're saying and they're scattered throughout the earth. At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit reverses this moment. By God's Spirit, they can hear each other and understand each other. But if we stop here, if we stop with understanding, we turn this profound moment, one marked by fire and a violent wind, into a sentimental experience about feeling good, about overcoming our differences. We're reminded by the Tower of Babel story that understanding in itself is not a good. Understanding is never enough. We saw that during this terrible week. Amy Cooper, the woman who called the police on this black bird watcher named Christian Cooper, she understood what to do. She understood that to tell the police a black man was threatening her was to do maximum damage. She understood, and so did he. we all understand that we have made a concession by giving certain people in our society guns and the ability to enforce our laws with deadly force if necessary. We all live in that understanding, an understanding of what we must tolerate in order for certain people, people who look like me, to feel safe. We understand. We understand how to order our world and our economy. We understand how to tolerate the intolerable. Understanding and our problem. We need understanding that is holy and good because it leads us somewhere. We need a kind of understanding that makes a certain kind of life, that carves out a way to be human together. I was trying to get a sense this week of how it could be that understanding another person's language might change us. So it's hard for me because my own experience of language acquisition is a bit like clinging to a side of a mountain. It is exhausting and a little thrilling, but I've never gotten past that stage of the clunky memorization where you're just thinking in a grid and filling in one word for another. But for people who've reached fluency in another language, something changes in them. Fluency lets you into more than a language. It lets you into a people. It lets you love people in new ways because you know them differently. And so I wanted to get someone else's opinion on this week. So I called David, who is fluent in both German and Spanish. And something I've noticed about David over the past few years is that language ended up being a roadmap to loving people, to really knowing who they are, not in our image of who we think they should be or what we can understand of them through translation. David told me that language helps you know what's important to people as part of a culture, as part of their land and their communities. He was telling me that in Germany, people don't throw around the word love like we do. I love a television show, I love macaroni and cheese. But in German, love is deep and serious, tinged with this commitment and exclusivity. In German, there are different ways to know things. There's knowledge of their head, but there's also knowledge of the heart, of experiences and encounters. We don't have that same way of understanding the world through our words that built up our American culture. That's understanding. But over time, I've watched how it has changed David's life. Language led him to spend his time supporting undocumented people, to learning about histories of US intervention in Central America, to developing a politics of compassion for immigrants. And I've seen that in many of you in our congregation. Language helps you commit to a new way of life. And the door was opened through the intimacy of language. It led you to people, to being for them, to wanting to hear them in their own voice. Language opened the door to their suffering and their fear. And it led you to put your life next to theirs, to wind your lives up together. I suspect that this is why each person at Pentecost begins to inhabit the language of the other people present. Did you notice that? They don't speak their own language, they speak the language of one another. This would be like Joe bursting into Russian while Debbie is speaking French, and Scott chats in Kiswahili to Janet, who responds in Mandarin. They embody these people, take all the intricacies of their culture and place and history into their own bodies. Friends, that is a miracle. But it would simply be a feel-good magic trick if this is where it ended. If they departed and returned to their own homes, back to their isolation. If they went back to being among their own kind, we would have no need to remember this day each year. Instead, Peter gives a speech to the naysayers, the people who look at the scene and sneer. And some of these people who hear him, they join up with this way of being together, of entering into lives that are powered by the Holy Spirit. And then in Acts 3, we see what that life looks like. we see how this new way of understanding upends the way that they live. What happens next is that they share everything they have in common. They redistribute their money. They eat with each other in their homes. They are glad and generous, and they know that all of this comes from God as a gift. We know that the rest of that story, because we've been spending time with the church in Corinth over the past few weeks, and we've seen that it is messy and complicated and beautiful and holy. But it begins here. It begins with fire and wind. It begins with entering the language of another, and it ends by knitting together these material lives, of putting what they have on the line for strangers who become their family. Last night, I saw a picture of graffiti on a wall in Philadelphia, and scrawled in these white letters were the words, "Can you hear us now?" I hope by now we all understand what led to these protests, the managed and the chaotic, those that did and did not involve property destruction. Over and over this week, I returned to the poem by Langston Hughes called Harlem. In it, he asks what happens to a dream deferred. What happens when hundreds of years of dreams are deferred by racist policies, by active and passive terror against Black lives? This is that poem. What happens to a dream deferred? Does it dry up like a raisin in the sun, or fester like a sore and then run? Does it stink like rotten meat, or crust and sugar over like a syrup sweet? Maybe it just sags like a heavy load. Or does it explode? Friends, that poem was written almost 70 years ago. It was written in the context of riots throughout the 30s and 40s in Harlem over racial injustice. Here we are again, wondering what happens when a dream is deferred, still puzzled when the dream explodes. We understand all of this. We understand. The miracle of Pentecost is that we are offered the Holy Spirit, and when this understanding puts into lives from which we were once separated, and it will change our material reality, how we spend our money, how we spend our time, the future that we shape, and with whom we do that. We don't need more understanding. We need the solidarity that comes from the Holy Spirit's movement among us, from the churning of wind and fire that turns us from self-protection, from relying on coercive forms of power to keep us safe, and towards putting our lives together. This is the Spirit at work in the church, and it is the Spirit at work in the world. Friends, the miracle is us. The miracle is the lives of the powerful and the wealthy, of the haves joining their lives to the have-nots, the people who have been pushed to the margins of power. And today, those voices rise up from our Black community, asking us to align ourselves with their freedom. And that in this freedom is all of our freedom, because none of us is free until all of us are free. This freedom isn't just for us, but for a creation that is steeped in sin and death. This is the work of the Holy Spirit, a work that enters the world with fire and language and settles itself into the ordinary patterns of human life, day after day after day. I am so grateful that we are a church that is not having this conversation for the first time, that we are not just now asking how to undo white supremacy, but we are being asked anew, always anew by the Holy Spirit, what do you have for us to hear today? What is the language that we do not understand that will lead us to new work, to uncovering the new work that God has for us? Today, I like to invite us into new conversations over the next couple months. Conversations about how we intentionally listen for the Holy Spirit's work right now. And I'd like that invitation to begin now, as we take time to pray and listen during this next song. It's Ella's song. It's arranged by Bernice Reagan Johnson, my personal hero, and sung by Sweet Honey in the Rock. As you hear it, will you listen for the Holy Spirit? Where is the Holy Spirit calling us to work in our community? As you listen, I welcome you during sharing time to offer up the questions, what is before you? What don't we understand yet in order to move into solidarity? Let's listen together now for the fire and for the wind.